Rightly said that the Beatitudes are not the do attitudes, they're the be attitudes. And this morning I want to continue on from Matthew chapter 5, talking about the be attitudes, what we should be, and not just what we should do. Jesus made eight exclamations that are called the Beatitudes. And he's describing his own mindset as he takes on the sins of the Jewish people in order to die for them because he loves them. And Jesus takes on himself the emotional shame and the humiliation of the children of Israel. God saved them a long time ago, but they have been acting shamefully. And so Jesus comes, and he comes to love them, redeem them, die for them, and show them the way. Now, Jesus himself had committed no sin. You understand that. But he took on the sin of the generations of Abraham's children, the great humiliation. Like Israel, we know personal sin. I know personal sin. I know a lot about that. And you probably know something about personal sin also. As a result, we mourn our sin. And this beatitude says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We feel the conviction of our sin as we look to the Lord. And before a holy God, we are horrified by what we see if we just looked at ourselves and not to Him. But Jesus said, blessed, and remember that word blessed means happy. Happy are those who mourn. Now that's a paradox, isn't it? Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He is not promising immediate gratification of happiness. It is the happiness of those who will be forgiven by His death through faith in Him. The Jewish people are going to see Jesus whom they pierced, it says in Zechariah, and they will believe in Him and they will burst into happiness, even though today they bear the shame of their sin. Mourning is the feeling that Jesus had when He took our sin upon Himself and He began to mourn. It is the deepest of emotions and grief. This is the mind of Christ, who had become guilty with our sins as He took our sins upon Himself. The great humiliation that we brought to Him as well. But the humiliation of sin gives way to comfort. When we are forgiven and that we realize that our forgiveness, our comfort comes, and then the great happiness. This feeling will be a shared emotion for every person who enters the kingdom when Jesus comes. This attitude that he's talking about, blessed are they who mourn, happy are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted, this will be our reality, our emotional state when we enter into the kingdom. We'll be mourning on our way in. We'll be comforted as we're there. This is why we sing about heaven so joyously. Jesus let himself feel the real emotions of a fallen world. The news every day is so embarrassing, so humiliating, so embarrassing to our country. How do you deal with negative emotions that you have, especially those that come as the result of your own sin and the sins of those that you associate yourself with? The sins of association. Do you try to hide it? Do you try to deny it or repress it or compartmentalize it? How do you deal with the humiliation of our own sins and those that we are associated with. You pretend it's not there? Well, that's exactly what Jesus is addressing in this one little sentence. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus comes to you today with advice, and I want to share that advice to you. And the first thing I want to say to you from Jesus, feel it. Feel it. Feel the humiliation. Feel the pain. Feel the grief. Jesus suffered on the cross. And he was able to endure it because of the joy that he knew what was coming later. When I feel the humiliation of my own sin before God, a holy God, I mourn. And when I genuinely mourn, he comforts me and he gives me what the psalmist calls joy in the morning. How does God bless you when you mourn? Well, this instruction from the scriptures today is very important because this is something that every person experiences. We experience loss and pain and mourning. Well, there are some benefits to mourning. The first one that I want to mention is when I mourn, God draws me close to himself. There's a benefit to mourning. In this fallen world, we suffer because of sin. We suffer death and grief and losses. And Jesus was not talking to the masses when he made this attitude statement. No, he had gathered a little band of people called his disciples. And he was giving them intimate instruction that was practical. Because in the days ahead, they knew, they are going to come to know what mourning is. Because we live in a fallen world, it's unrealistic to expect to be happy all the time. We're not going to be happy all the time. Now, some people, that's their goal in life, is to be happy, happy, happy all the time. But God never intended for us to be happy all the time. In fact, it's necessary to mourn sometimes. We call this grieving. God does not expect me to be happy every day. When we get to heaven, it will be full of happiness and it will be unbroken happiness for sure. But now we live in periods of grief. Christians are not Pollyanna. And the Word of God says, there is a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. Grieving is the feeling of great loss. We all experience losses in our lives. When you experience a loss, take it to Jesus and cast it on him. This is the instruction of the scriptures. Because he cares for you. Don't fake it, face it. Feel it fully. Let it hit you full square. Mourn. Mourn the good things that you didn't get that you hoped that you would get, because that's a loss. Grief is the feeling of deep pain. But it's good for us. It's good for our souls, believe it or not. It's a healthy emotion. Jesus tells us to do it. The feeling of this pain. God gives us emotions so that we could be like him. You remember it says in the scripture that God made us in his own image. Well, God doesn't have a physical body, so what exactly did God mean when he said that? Well, God meant that he made us like himself to have emotions, the ability to choose, a will, an intellect, the ability to think, to plan, to know the future, to be able to obey. You see, my friends, God feels. He made us like Himself. The Holy Spirit, it says in the Scripture, grieves when we sin. You see, God has feelings. And He suffers pains of life changes too, and He gets hurt. And that's exactly when many of us experience some of our greatest pain, is when life changes. Things change. And every time things change, it brings a kind of painful stress to our lives. This last month, my mother went to be home with the Lord. 2 years ago, it was the last time she ever mentioned my name. And it was then that she couldn't recall my name or recognize me when I visited her, that I recognized the pain of separation. And I grieved then. The healthy thing to do when loss comes, when pain comes, is to face it fully and to feel it. Don't repress it. Don't deny it. Feel it. I'm telling you what Jesus said. Blessed are they that mourn. That means feel your grief. Feel your loss. Let it come. And then cry. Cry. Mourn. Jesus cried. When I was little, they used to say, when you get hurt, rub dirt on it. You remember that, don't you? They told you the same thing. Just rub dirt on it. Did it help? No, but it sure was a cute statement. This is really bad advice. Rub dirt on it. It's really bad advice. It's not what Jesus said to do. He did not say, buck up, don't cry. He said, do cry. We want our little children to be courageous. And there's a time for that. Remember, Jesus said, there's a time for everything. There's a time for that. And there's a way to be courageous. It's through encouragement. Encourage. Put courage into people. But when you're hurting, it's very appropriate to cry. People in my generation, older folks, know that we grew up in a generation that was a hard time. World War II was tough. And you're kind of told to get tough and get with it. But we need to return to the Scriptures. And parents, I want to encourage you, let your kids cry. Let them cry. Do you want them to learn to suppress emotions and to repress emotions? That's how I grew up, and it did not serve me well. These are routes to emotional problems. We either express our emotions by crying when we're sad or hurt, or we suppress it by stuffing it. When you get hurt, God does not get irritated at you and say, stop crying. God never does that. He encourages us to cry. He tells us to mourn. He may say lovingly, let's go into a private place and cry together. I tend to find that that's what God really does. Let's go to a private place together and cry together. Not rub dirt on it. Not stop crying. But I'm with you in your pain. He won't order you to suppress your feelings. Now, I tell you this morning from experience because I'm a professional represser. And one of the things you like about repressors is they're nice. They're really nice people. You like to be around repressors because, well, they're never going to act out to you unless it gets really, really bad, and then it gets really, really ugly. If I hurt you, you're not likely to know it. And if you hurt me, I'm not likely to know it because I learned the skill of repression a long time ago. Repressors bear their pain alone, and that's not healthy. They tend to be easy to live with most of the time. The New Testament describes two emotionally unhealthy people, expressors and repressors, and this congregation is probably pretty evenly divided from those maladjusted descriptions. Half of you are probably expressors. You're just happy to tell everybody how you feel, especially if you're upset with them. And the other half, you would never tell them because, well, that's not just not what you do. You eat it. Expressors tend to blow up and hurt other people. Repressors tend to have emotional problems. And they implode instead of explode. There are exploders and there are imploders. And then there are those who do what Jesus said to do, mourn. We either learn to let it out or act it out. The psychology book of the Bible is the book of Proverbs. And it describes this psychological phenomenon in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 26. And I'd like for you to turn there, and I want you to write in your Bible, if you have a paper Bible, I want you to actually write in your Bible this passage, because you need this passage. You've probably never thought about this passage before in its fullness. But I'm going to read it, and I want you to read it with me, because this is a description in the Bible, a psychological description of a repressor. I found this many years ago, and it hurt my heart. But I needed to mourn, because it's a description of me, and it's humiliating. Read with me. He who hates disguises it with his lips, and he lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, you think I'm kind? You do, don't you? Pastor Rob is so kind. He said such kind things. I want to be kind like Jesus is kind, not deceptively kind. Go on. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Isn't this ugly? And though his hatred is covered by deceit, if he's upset with you, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. You know why? Because the day is coming when he's going to act out. And it's an ugly thing. His wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. It goes on to say, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. And he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. That makes me think of Coyote and Roadrunner. Verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Isn't this ugly? This is the human heart. It's not mine alone. It's the human heart. This is God's description of a repressor. He harms himself by not mourning, but repressing and stuffing. And then he harms other people eventually. And what he needs to do is learn to mourn instead of hiding or denying the emotion. And so I come here today pleading with you not to be a repressor or a suppressor or a depressor, because if you suppress enough, you will depress for sure and suffer depression. I also want to ask you not to be a social bomb, always blowing up in other people's faces when you don't like something or you're not feeling good about things. Be like Jesus. Carry his attitude. Let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Mourn. When you're hurting, the best thing you can do is go cry. Don't act out. Don't hurt people. Don't hurt yourself. God's going to be right there to meet with you. And it's very effective. Go into your closet with God and find comfort. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. By whom? By God Himself. Psalm 32, verse 3 says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long." Young people, you want to know what old people feel like? That verse tells you how to feel like an old person if you want to. You can experience it. Just keep silent when you're really hurting and when you're really in deep pain. And teenagers know a lot about pain. And I'm not kidding. Some of my most painful years of my life was when I was trying to grow up and I didn't know how. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Those are the days that I repressed the most. I ate it and stuffed it. And when I ate it and stuffed it, I got to experience what it's like when you're almost 70 years old. Those same feelings. Through my groaning all day long. Now, that's not the only benefit of mourning. And when I say benefit, I'm talking about knowing the experience of drawing close to God in your closet. That is a benefit. That's a great benefit. But there's another benefit, and that is God actually enters my suffering with me. When we groan, we eat it. And when we moan, we pity ourselves. And self-pity is an ugly thing. And when we moan, we share it with the shepherd. So you can choose to groan, or you can choose to moan, or you can choose to mourn. God gave me the capacity to grieve, and He gave you the capacity to grieve also. And when you do, you are just like God, because He grieves. You can learn to be like God by being with God in your pain. If I do not allow myself to feel, then I get stuck right there in my life. And so you see, this is the problem about being a repressor. Is there periods in your life when you won't face it and you want to stuff it and you want to deny it and you don't want to feel it because it's too painful, and so you stop right there and you stop feeling and you numb yourself. And people numb themselves different ways. And if I don't allow myself to feel, I don't grow anymore. Growth stops. It says in the scripture in Psalm 39, verse 2, "I was silent and I held my peace." And the result was my distress grew. This is what happens when we stuff it. What we should do is stop. Let the hurricane of pain come right on us and hit us square. And then you walk into your closet and tell God about it. Mourn. Feel it. Now, my friends, I tell you, and you know this as well as I know this, circumstances that are painful are not our choice. But mourning is a choice. You can't stop the pain. You can't stop what other people say. You can't stop circumstances, but you can control mourning. Mourn comes as a result of losses. Every change in life represents a loss. We experience losses every day. Some losses are bigger losses or perceived to be bigger losses than other things. But do you realize that even good changes like a new job, even if it's a promotion, is a loss? Have you ever thought about that? Every time there's a change in your life, you're experiencing a loss. You're experiencing the loss of friends that you left behind. You're experiencing the loss of a schedule that you had, that you got used to. There are several things that you lose every time there's a change in your life. And these cause pain too, and you need to talk to God about them. Maybe the most outstanding and clearest example of these losses happen to be new moms, new mothers. They experience joy, don't they? Wow, you got this brand new baby. It's so exciting. There's so much joy, but there's also an awful lot of loss at the same time. Sometimes this results in postpartum depression, and the emotions can be absolutely overwhelming and debilitating. Mom just experienced a change that represents not only joy, but great loss. Because freedom is now gone for many years. The life of another is on me. And that little bundle of joy is also a little ball and chain that I never knew before. I can't just do things anymore on a whim. My time is not my time anymore. My things that I used to enjoy, they're out of my life now. They're losses. I can't just do those things that whenever I want to that just gave me gratification. The mountains just fell on me. We all know something of grief and loss through change. So I beg you, I invite you, in behalf of the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, do this. Go to your prayer closet and just let God hold you. Just let Him hold you. He wants to. Tell Him everything. Tell Him the whole thing. What people said, what you've lost, what you're embarrassed about, your shame. Tell Him the whole thing. Pour it out. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And you will learn to have a new fellowship with God that you never had before. That's a benefit. A painful way to get fellowship, but a true route to new fellowship. There's another benefit I want to close with, and that is God uses pain to grow me up, to make me more mature. God blesses those who mourn with comfort and maturity. Now, do not misunderstand this little expression that Jesus gave to His disciples. Happy are they who mourn. Understand the next word, for they shall be comforted. That's not instant gratification. Shall is a futuristic word. It's coming. The comfort's coming, even though you may not feel it immediately. It's coming. In the process, look what God does. And it is a process, by the way. Pain, being comforted, is a process. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart." What a promise. What a promise. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And then in Hebrews 13:5, we have another promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. These are important. I want to tell you, my dear friends, God is using your greatest pain to grow you up. My growth spurts in my life have been the result of pain, not study. I do study, but the study tends to go right over my head without the pain. He is maturing your understanding just like He did mine. And not only that, God is maturing your capacity to care about other people through your pain. He is using all things in your life for good. Romans 8:28, we heard it earlier today. Your greatest ministry, my friends, is going to come through your greatest pain. God wants you to have a substantial ministry. God wants you individually to make other disciples. And part of the training for that is your pain. Mourning is God's spiritual and emotional school. I really get irritated about with preachers who are trying to tell you that God wants you to be happy, 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 happy all the time. He does not. That's like selling the snake oil of getting rich. Every time you hear a preacher, they tell you how to get rich. Let God educate you, my friends, like He educated Joseph and Sister Sarah and Moses and Job and Peter. You educators know this too, that all education is painful. It's very painful to learn long division. For some people, it takes a long time. And it really takes some real brain work to do it. And it's painful to do those problems over and over and over again. And you learn to hate it. You know, I've never learned anything that was worth learning without first learning to hate it and then learning to love it. I once played an instrument. I hated that thing. And then later on, I learned to love that thing. Because that's how education works. Education stretches us and it demands us and it brings growth in us. I want to assure you, my friends, that God is using your pain for good. Let it happen. Let it happen. Feel it fully. And then take it to God in prayer. Corrie ten Boom said that the strongest emotional people on earth are those who survived the Holocaust but found purpose in their pain. That's profound. God has a purpose for you in your life too. And I hope you learn it. I hope you feel it first so you can come to learn it. Because God wants to use it to grow you up and grow me up. Let's stand and sing, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you." You know that song, don't you? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. Will He? God will take care of you. Rich, dismiss us in prayer. Would you come over here? And Rich is going to... Rick knows, he knows about pain.
Lord, thank you for...
going to join today. And so Melissa and Scott, will you come up front? And there may be other people here. I know the Limleys are sick with the flu. They wanted to join today. Anyone else who wants to come today. Now, this is Scott and Melissa, and wow, I'm really looking forward to their ministry here. Scott is a bass guitar player. Thank you, God. Melissa is a certified Christian counselor. And so God sent us more resources. You know, it says in the scripture, pray to the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth workers. Amen. Woo! I'm glad. What's his name?
Scott.
And what's her name?
Melissa.
And I'm glad they're here. How many approve them becoming members with us? See, that was that easy. We're glad you're here. Don't leave. Yes. Okay, let's make sure you pray for them. The big Washington trip's overnight tonight. Okay, we are dismissed, but don't leave without shaking hands with these folks and give them a big hug and invite them into our family.